Just a reminder that the month of Elul, the Learning Now call is sponsored by Elaine and Jacqueline Cooperman. And this week's learning is sponsored by Sheldon and Batsheva Kasten. And today's learning is also sponsored by the Schreier family, Lezecher Nishmas Rebbetzin Toby Schreier, Alea Shalom. Okay, so for the next few minutes, we will review some of the marmakomos that some of you may have gotten a chance to repair, and we will develop a well-known yesod of Rav Soloveitchik that will help us better understand the mitzvah of shofar. So, in source number one, if everyone has the source sheet, the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah says, "Kol haShofros Ksheirim Chutz Mishal Parim." So all shofros, all types of horns, are permitted to use for the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, except for the horn of a cow. The Mishnah doesn't explain why the Tanakhama thinks that's prohibited. Rabbi Yossi responds to the Tanakhama, "V'alo kol haShofros nikru keren shenemar b'mshof keren b'keren hayova." So Rabbi Yossi argues and says that all shofros are permitted because they're all called a keren. So you see that there's really no difference between the shofar of, let's say, a sheep or a goat and the horn of a cow. So we have a machlokas, Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, as to whether the horn of a cow is permitted to be used for the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. Yeah? That's clear. That's clear from the Mishnah. So the Gemara has a few different explanations as to what exactly the Machlokas, Tanakam, and Rabbi Yossi is about. We're just going to focus on the opinion of Ula in the Gemara. I think it's the second opinion in the Gemara. Here in Source 2, the Gemara says, "Ula Omar, Hainu Tamid Rabbanan." This is the reason for the opinion of the Rabbanan, who hold that the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar can only be fulfilled al yedei a shofar of either a sheep. We'll see, at least a sheep or a goat, definitely not a parah. Kid Rav Chista, like the same Rav Chista. Rav Chista said in a different context, Kid Rav Chista, "Dam Rav Chista, mipnei ma in kohen gadol nichnes b'vigdei kohen lefnai v'lefnim la'avod avoda." We know that a kohen gadol throughout the year wears four begadim that are colored gold. On Yom Kippur, when he does the avoda that's inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal, he changes his begadim. He wears special clothes called the Bigdei Lavan. So why is that? That's a strange thing. Why can't he just wear the same clothing, the golden clothing that he wears throughout the year? And even on Yom Kippur itself, he wears those clothing when he's doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash outside of the Heichal, inside of the Azara. The regular Bigdei Zahav. Why does he have to wear the big day love, and why does he change into the white clothing? So the Gemara says, "Lefish in kategor nasas anegor," because the prosecutor should not become the defense attorney. What does that mean? We know that the color gold is symbolic. It makes us remember the cheta eagle, because the golden calf was obviously made out of gold. So therefore, if the Kohen Gadol would go into the Heichal, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, wearing golden clothing, the avoda, the service that the Kohen Gadol is doing inside, which is supposed to serve as a kapara for Klal Yisrael, it's supposed to serve it as atonement for Klal Yisrael. If he's going to wear gold, kiviyachol, so to speak, it's going to make a Kadosh Baruch Hu think of the cheta egel, which was made out of gold. So therefore, it's improper for the Kohen Gadol to wear golden clothing when he goes inside the Holy of Holies, inside of the Kodesh Kadoshim. So that's why he wears the big day lovin. So that's what Rav Chista said. That's what Rav Chista said about the big day Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So too, says Ula, that's the reason you're not supposed to use the horn of a cow for the mitzvah of shofar, because it makes us remember it's going to be symbolic of the cheta egel, because the egel was obviously a cow, so therefore the mitzvah of shofar can't be fulfilled with the horn of a cow. Says the Gemara, "Va'ika dampar." What do you mean? One of the korbanos on Yom Kippur is a cow, and the service, the avoda of the cow, is done inside the Heichal and inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So isn't that a problem of Ein Kategor Nasas HaNegor? with the dam, with the blood. So the Gemara says, no, hol v'ishtani ishtani. The blood does not make one remember, one think of a cow. Blood is blood. It doesn't conjure up any memories of the chet ha'egel, as opposed to the horn, which, you know, it's distinct in its tzura, it's distinct in its form, and it's clearly coming from a cow. Oh, asks the Gemara of Ha'ika Aron v'Kaporis u'Kruv. The Aron, the ark, and the Kaporis and the Kruv, all of these things are made out of gold. Isn't that a problem of Enkategar Nasas and Egar being placed inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Says the Gemara, Chote Bal Yakiv Kamrinan. The prohibition of Enkategar Nasas and Egar is only when we're talking about something that has to do with Avoda, doing something, some type of worship to Kadosh Baruch Hu that's going to conjure up a memory of the Chet HaEgel, that's a problem. But the actual Aron being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's not a problem, because that's not serving as any avoda, it's not any worship that we're doing with anything made out of gold or anything that comes from a cow. Says the Gemara a little further, why isn't it a problem for the Kohen Gadol to wear golden clothing outside of it? He's still doing Avoda. He's still worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu with golden clothing. He's still doing the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash with golden clothing. So why is it permitted for him to do it outside of the Heichal, inside of the Azara? Isn't that a problem of Enkategar Nasas HaNegar as well? Says the Gemara, no. Mibifnim Kamrinu. The problem is only if he goes inside. Inside of the Heichal, inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's when there's a problem of Enkategar Nasas HaNegor. However, if he's outside of the Heichal, in the Azara, the outer courtyard, there's no problem of Enkategar Nasas HaNegor. It's only when you go further in the Beis HaMikdash. Asks the Gemara, Shofar Nami Mibachutsu. We just said, the reason we're discussing the sugya of Enkategar Nasas HaNegor is because we're talking about Shofar. And Shofar, you're not allowed to use the horn of a cow, of a bull. So shofar is not bifnim. So just like shofar is not bifnim, and still we're concerned of Enkategar Nasas HaNegor, so too the big day zahav of the Kohen in the outer courtyard should also be a problem of Enkategar Nasas HaNegor. Says the Gemara, there's a difference between shofar and the avoda of the Kohen Gadol and in the outer courtyard. What's the chiluk? What's the difference? You know the sugya? I'm talking to Mr. Rabbi Schiffman, Rabbi Fishman. Rabbi Fishman. Okay, we'll read the Gemara. Never mind. Says the Gemara, Kevin de lezichron hu kibifnim dam. Says the Gemara, since the shofar is supposed to be a zikaron, it's supposed to be a remembrance for Klal Yisrael, therefore it's as if it's bifnim. Anyone know what that means? Anyone know what that means? Yeah? What does it mean? Its purpose is for memory. Okay, interesting. And therefore, it's as if it's going closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, and therefore it should run into a problem of Enkategar Nasas HaNegor. Could be. We're going to say something along those lines, a similar mahash. So we'll begin with a Rambam. It's not on the source sheet, so I'll read it out loud. The Rambam is in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Gimel, Halacha Dalet, a well-known Rambam. The Rambam writes, Afal pisha tkiya shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeras hakasavu. Even though the mitzvah of tkiya shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a gzeras hakasav, it's a decree, it's a mitzvah. There's no apparent or explicit reason for the mitzvah. Remez yeshba. Nevertheless, there's some hint, there's some hidden meaning to the mitzvah of shofar. And what is that? Says the Rambam, he tells us. Kilomar, uru yishenu mishenaschem. The shofar is a call to wake up from your slumber. V'hakitzu nirdamim mitar demaschem. To wake up from your deep sleep. V'chipsu b'maaseichem v'chazur v'tshuva. And you should remember your Creator. Elu hashochichem es ha'emes. These are referring to the people who forget the truth. Behavli hazman. V'shogim kol shnosam behevel v'rik asher lo yo v'lo yatzil. And the Rambam goes on to explain how this is supposed to be a wake-up call For those who are not completely committed to their Avodas Hashem, and it's supposed to be a motivating call to tshuva. That's what the Rambam says. So it's interesting. Usually the Rambam in Mishnah Torah is a halachic work. He doesn't normally give us reasons for the mitzvahs, tamiha mitzvahs. He tells us the halachos, this you're supposed to do, this you're not supposed to do, this is how you fulfill a mitzvah, this is how you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah. Why is the Rambam giving us the remez, the tam, of the mitzvah of shofar? So the Rav Soloveitchik, made the following observation. What emerges from the Rambam is you see that there are really two aspects, two elements to the mitzvah of shofar. One is the maisa mitzvah, the performance of the mitzvah, the act of the mitzvah, blowing the shofar. That is one aspect of the mitzvah of shofar. And the other aspect is what he calls a kiyum shabalev. It's supposed to foster and develop some inner feeling. There's the maisa mitzvah and then the kiyum shabalev. We have this this idea in other areas of halacha. The Rav was famous for describing also the hanhagos of avelos. We know that, Rachman al-Itzlan, a person is an avel. There are certain things that he's supposed to do, certain things that he's not supposed to do. A person is supposed to sit low on the floor. A person is supposed to tear his begad. And there are certain hanhagos, certain halachos that an avel is supposed to observe. So the Rav, with many rayos, explained that those hanhagos, those acts of avelos during the period of Shiva are supposed to foster and develop a feeling of pain, a feeling that's called a kiyum shablev. But the performance, the mitzvah, is supposed to develop some feeling. So the Rav said a similar idea in the mitzvah of shofar, that you have the maisa mitzvah, the pure maisa mitzvah, the pure act of blowing the shofar. And then what the Rambam is telling us is that it's also supposed to inspire us, it's also supposed to give us this feeling of motivation to do tshuva. So how does it express itself? How does this kiyum shabalev express itself in halacha? So the Rav explained, and we'll finish up soon, don't worry. The Rav explained from many sources that this kiyum shabalev expresses itself in the form of tefillah. Shofar is not just a tkiyah, it's not just blowing a horn, it's also a form of tefillah. Where did the Rav get that from? I'm sorry, tefillah. Tefillah, prayer. It's a form of prayer. It's a form of prayer, and that's the way we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvah of shofar. So the Rav had had a few proofs for that idea. One is on the source sheet, source number 4. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis says, Amar Rabbi Levi, mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom HaKippurim b'kfufin v'shel kol Hashanah b'pshutin. So Rabbi Levi's of the opinion that the mitzvah of shofar and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the shofar is, Yom Kippur meaning Yovel, the shofar is supposed to be bent. It's supposed to be the shofar of a ram. You know, they're not straight, they're bent, sometimes they're twirly. You know, it's supposed to look like that. And shel kol Hashanah on regular tanios, where they would blow the shofar, regular fast days, it's allowed to be straight. Asks the Gemara of Atnan, shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Yal Pashut. But the Mishnah said differently. The Mishnah said that the shofar Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be straight. So the Gemara goes on to explain that it's really a machlokes tanaim. It's a machlokes tanaim whether the shofar and Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be bent or it's supposed to be straight. So if you go towards the end of the source, the Gemara explains the third to last line, b'maikum b'flugi, what exactly is nas machlokes, whether the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be straight or it's supposed to be bent. So the Gemara explains, mar savar b'Rosh Hashanah kama de kaif inish daite, fe ma'ali. One opinion in the Gemara says that, in the Mishnah say that, and Rashi explains what the Gemara means to say is that when a person on Rosh Hashanah, when he's davening, is supposed to feel humble, is supposed to feel lowly, is supposed to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incredible, is awesome, and we are not, we don't match up to him. And therefore, the shofar is also supposed to be bent. Yom HaKippurim, we're supposed to act, we're like malachim, and we're supposed to be more upright. So therefore, kamed apashit inish daitit fei ma'ali. So therefore, the shofar is supposed to also be straight on Yom Kippur. Umar saver brush Hashanah kamed apashit inish daitit fei ma'ali. Ubetanios kamed akayif inish daitit fei ma'ali. And the other opinion, the Gemara says the opposite. On Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to be upright in tefillah, and Taniyos, we're supposed to be lowly and bent over. But what's very strange about the Gemara is, what's the connection between tefillah, between davening, and the way the shofar is supposed to look? What does one thing have to do with the other? What does one thing have to do with the other? There's the mitzvah of shofar, and then there's the mitzvah of davening. So what the Rav explained is, you see from this Gemara, clearly there's a connection between the mitzvah of shofar and the mitzvah of tefillah. Because if the explanation in the Rambam is correct, shofar is a form of tefillah. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense that the surah of the shofar, the form of the shofar, is supposed to resemble, it's supposed to mimic the way that we're davening. However we're davening in Rosh Hashanah, however we're relating to the Ribono Shel Olam through our tefillah, the shofar is supposed to follow suit. It's supposed to look the same way. Another incredible source the Rav pointed out is Rashi al Torah. It's not in the source sheet. But Rashi al Torah famously explains on the Pasuk Zichron Shua. It's in Parshas Emor, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalet. Rashi writes Zichron Shua, which is talking about the mitzvah of shofar. Rashi says, Zichron psuke zichronos psuke shofros. Liskor lachem akedus Yitzchak, shekar tachtav ayah. So Rashi explains that the mitzvah of shofar is supposed to be in the context of the psukim of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. He doesn't mention Malchios there, but he says Zichronos and Shofros, that's a discussion. But Rashi is talking about the mitzvah daraisa of shofar in the context of tefillah. What's that all about? What's that all about? There's the mitzvah of shofar. Who would have said, is there a mitzvah to eat matzah in the context of tefillah? Is there a mitzvah to shake lulav in the middle of Shemona Esrei? During halal, because there's a connection between the two. But there's no obligation to perform any mitzvah in the context of tefillah, except for shofar, apparently. What's that all about? Says the Rav, Hein Hein Advarim. That's the explanation. Since shofar is a form of tefillah, it makes sense that its placement is supposed to be in the middle of Shemona Esrei. We're supposed to blow shofar before, maybe during, after Shemona Esrei. It's supposed to surround the tefillah because shofar itself is a form of tefillah. So we'll just end with one interesting nugget, halacha lemaisa. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very interesting tshuva, where he develops this idea not about shofar. He's talking about tefillah and tefillah in the context of in kategor nasa sonegor. He writes that it's improper to use a siddur or a machzor that was printed on Shabbos. Why? Because if it was printed on Shabbos, it was printed with Chil Shabbos. And even if a non-Jew did it, it was through the prohibition of Amir Lenachri. So, says Rav Moshe, if you're going to use a siddur or a machzor for tefillah to pray to the Ribono Shel Olam, Rav Moshe doesn't quote the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, but it's l'chora a good proof that Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar, how can you approach the Ribono Shel Olam with your tefillos that they should be accepted when you're using an object that an Avera was done with? How could that be? Says Rav Moshe, it should be a prohibition in Kategor Nasa Sanegar. And Rav Moshe even goes further and says, maybe the tefillah is not even going to be accepted. He proves that maybe this is even ma'akev. If a person is using a siddur, you have to find out whether art school prints their siddur, I'm assuming they don't, whether art school prints their siddur on Shabbos. But Rav Moshe writes, he suggests, halacha lemaisa, that a person should not use, should make sure that their machzor, the siddur, is not printed on Shabbos. Some of the svarim, in the beginning of the sefer, they say this sefer was printed without any chol Shabbos. So Rav Moshe thinks that it may even be ma'akev the tefillah. Okay, so what we just learned is the well known yisod of the Rav, that aside from the pure Maisa mitzvah of shofar, shofar is also a kiyam shebelev, and that kiyam shebelev expresses itself as a form of tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is upon us, and it's important while the Baal Tokei is blowing shofar, not just to time to see how long he could do the tekiah for. I know that's always a fun thing, but it's also a moment to introspect and to be mispal to the Ribono Shel Olam that our tefillah should be accepted with our tefillos and with our shofar. Everyone should have a great Shabbos.